So it's the 25th of August today, 2010. Who am I interviewing today? Your full name.
My name is Jessie Kunjusic.
What was your maiden name?
My name was Jagica Stanage. I've changed when I became naturalised. I took a different name.
What was that?
Because I didn't like my own name, Jagica, Jagica, Jagica. I didn't like it.
That was your first name?
I only have one. And that's now Jessie.
What's the address here?
54 Kelly Street, Austral.
And how long have you been in this location?
Well, we moved into Kelly Street in 1953. Got married in 1956. Went to Cabramatta for 2 years and come back again here. And I've been here ever since. In 1958, it was the second time that I came here.
Permanently then?
Yes.
You migrated in 53?
No, we migrated in 1950. And we came to, actually, to Melbourne. We were down there 3 years in the suburbs of Lilydale, which was called Sylvan. We did farming down there, and my father decided to come to New South Wales in 1953.
So your father was already here when you migrated?
My father came to this country in 1938.
So before the war?
Yes.
So just let's talk a bit about that. Your father came here with his wife?
No, on his own. My mum was left home with me and another one on the way. That was my second sister, who was born 13 days after he left.
And your sister's name?
Millie. You met her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did your mother come to Australia?
My mother came here. We came with her on a ship from Genova in Italy. It took us some 28 days. And then another sister was born here 10 months later. She's 16 years my junior.
So there's three of you?
Yes.
Three of you running around. So she's here?
She's here. She's 16 years younger than me.
And what's her name?
Helen.
Where does she reside?
She lives at Greystones.
Okay. Just got to get the picture. And can I just ask your husband something while he's sitting here? I might just ask him something too, may as well. Can I get your full name?
My Christian name is Dinko. It's a Kunjusic.
And when did you migrate out here from, was it Blato or?
No. I escaped from the Blato to Italy. I stayed in Italy 13 months in a camp. From there, I came to Australia in 1955, end of the 55.
So you say you escaped from your home.
Yeah.
What was happening?
A very different life, you know, that storm is after all, there's no got nothing, and a lot of people, you want to move. I got an uncle in here, it's the best country in Australia. That's why I think where I'll be coming to here. That's why I escaped from there to wait for that to here 13 months in Italy to come into Australia.
I mean, it's a big thing to do, isn't it? It's unbelievable. Did you leave your family, or?
I leave three brothers, mother and father.
You're going to get emotional.
Yeah, no, he looks emotional.
Because he didn't tell anyone. He didn't tell anyone he was going. His mother said, "What have you got two pairs of pants on?" And he just looked at home. Man. There was no other way. You couldn't come with a passport. You couldn't. They caught many of them. They escaped. They escaped, I suppose, to be 24 hours in Italy. It took them 3 days or something, didn't it?
Three and a half days
to get to Italy. Yeah. I speak English better than English.
Yeah, that's okay. So why did you decide to go? It's a big decision, isn't it?
A big decision, because I like it to come, because you come into Italy, you want to go to America or Chile or Argentina. I said, no, I want to go to Australia to make a lot of papers. And my uncle is a guarantor.
Uh-huh. Was he here?
To come in his place where you are coming from Italy to Australia.
Uh-huh. Was he here? didn't hear that he be barbered.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's coming at this. I'm not sure, but I reckon he's coming before his father. He's coming about 1930, 1932.
Where did you arrive when you got here? Did you come by boat?
Yeah, I came first to Melbourne, and well, you are coming to Sydney.
Flaminia.
Yes. Oh well, Flaminia is a boat. It's an Italian company. And I was coming to uncle. If you got the money, where I saw this thing in a life in a day, you know, you can't speak English, you can't. Somebody said to you, good morning, you don't know what you say. Or good eye, or something like that. Or I can't say anything. So he's not a friend, he's not anybody. I said, worry, I come in here. I said, if you got the money, I go back straight away.
Because it's a very. How old were you?
I was 25, nearly 26. 25 anyway. To about becoming.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt them. So you were going to go back if
you had the money.
You hated it.
No, I hated it. Can't, no friends, there's nobody
alone.
There. You're like lost.
Unbelievable. Mm.
See, you can't go to anybody to talk. Because you don't understand, what if my auntie and my uncle there, I can't talk with him. But what if I find a job in the Camellia, in the Hardis? I can't understand anybody, you just have to show me what I do. Because I can't understand.
So how did it change for you? How did things get, what happened?
Well, I meet her, and after 6 months you got married.
So you met her and fell in love? Oh, no.
Well, I wasn't a bad looker when I was young.
Yeah, you're all right still, Jess.
Yeah, I know, because if you don't look good, I come, I don't want to marry.
I go home. So you met Jesse when? Tell me about that.
Where? I met Jesse in...
1955 in November.
No.
December.
Oh, December.
Where did you meet her?
In her place there on her next door.
So when you arrived in Sydney, did you come out to the farming region or were you elsewhere?
No, I came to Fairfield with my uncle. But still my uncle has got a farm in the Cabramatta. So I'm helping, he's got a bit of tomatoes, I'm helping with the tomatoes where you grow very bit. And after 1966, in the first, I started working in the Hardis, Camellia.
1956.
56, yeah.
Sorry.
So you learned to grow tomatoes in Cabramatta?
No,
or?
That's my uncle growing. When I married, she grew a little bit of tomatoes.
So what do you do? I
work in the three shift in the Hardis, Camellia. For three.
James Hardy.
For that.
What did you work in what?
I make a fiber.
And you know what?
That's why I got the asbestos.
So where was James Hardy located?
Camellia,
close to Rose Hill. Uh-huh. There is a factory. At least I might be still there, I don't know. I worked there three shifts.
What did you do? You made fibro. What did that mean?
Just, you know, with the cleaning bit to understand something to work with the machine a bit later on. But what you come in like you, we push everywhere. Do this, broom at this, bring at this, take at this. You know, you do with everything because you can't understand to work some machinery. In there.
You have feed to
feed it with a big, what do you call it?
He used to feed the stuff that made
okay. You did everything, really?
And everything, because you can't understand with the work with the big machine. Because you can't speak. That's the biggest trouble. So from there, I move to here. And we have worked a little bit in the farm, and I worked 3 months or 6 months in here, 6 months outside. And after a few years, decided, well, she little bit work in the farm, I decided to work outside, in the factory or anyway. That's your life.
Fun wasn't bringing enough money to support.
Did you go back and see your family at all?
Oh, yeah, I'll be 6 times over there. Oh, well, I lost the mother
1960.
Uh-huh. So I'll be here. So I came first time over there 1976. I find a father in the life and the uncle and the auntie and the...
So when were you diagnosed with asbestos?
40 years later.
Recently?
He was in his 60s. What, about 60, 65? 40 years it took to surface. Mind you, and he was 26 when he worked for Hardy's. Till 28, so...
Only 2 years.
Yeah, he was only two and a half years. And he developed this cough and they couldn't get rid of it 40 years later. Took x-rays, they said he had asbestos on his right lung, which is all covered like a rim of the orange. It's not inside, it's on the outside of his lung. But being asthmatic, it stops him breathing freely. And... we fought for 10 years, fought the government and for compensation for it. We've got a little compensation, but nothing will bring your health back. But it does help in other ways, you know, in medical ways. And they do cut our lawn now too, because he can't do it. I used to do it. Teresa, I did it all my life. Because he can't stand the grass and he can't walk far. So... the Dutch Diseases Board decided they pay someone to do it for us every 2 weeks. Well, it helps a bit. I wouldn't be able to do it now because I'm full of arthritis. Back, legs, everything.
So where did you meet your husband? You met him at
a dance? His auntie and uncle brought him down here because my mum and dad were friends with him. We come from the same village.
Tell me about the village again.
Blato. I didn't know him in Blato. I knew his brothers. It's a small village, everyone knows everyone.
It's not really small, about 10,500 people there.
But his auntie was a friend of my mother's and his uncle, because they knew that my father had two girls, single girls. So they brought him here to see whether he might, you know, take on with one. But when I first met him, you know what I said, Therese? I said, oh no, he's too short and fat, I'm not interested.
What do I say?
He said, oh God, where did I come?
I say, what do my uncle bring me here? I don't know why.
He's only pulling your leg. I was in overalls that you have to have clips on and the men's gum boots. I had curlers in my hair. I was picking tomatoes. Wasn't I attractive? But there was something there anyway. We got married whether I wanted to leave my father because he was control free. My dad was terrible. And whether he wanted to leave his auntie and uncle too, didn't want to be burdened on old people. So we thought we might as well get married 6 months earlier or 6 months later. Well, we've been together 55 years nearly. So
it's another miracle in life.
another few fights.
There's always relationships aren't easy.
Oh, well, if you know fight, you know got to love.
That's right.
that's why we are all of us argue with each other.
We don't argue that much. We just...
Oh, well, argue. You know the life if you know argue.
I don't think you call it an argument. I think you call it a disagreement. Like you say one thing and I don't disagree about it. Or I will say it and he'll say no, you know. But I don't think it's fighting. I think it's just
difference.
Putting a point there. That's how I look at it.
So what were your uncle and auntie's name?
Auntie is Maria and Uncle Tony.
Kunjasic.
So still is a Kunjasic.
When did they migrate here?
Auntie's uncle is in 1932 or 33 in Australia. Auntie is in 1937. After 5 or 6 years after uncle.
Teresa, I'm going to tell you this much. My father came... His brother was supposed to come and his brother changed his mind at the last minute. So my father took his papers and came on his brother's name. And he came to Kalgoorlie, Western Australia, and he worked on Not in the mines, he worked in the bush. And he said if he had money to pay his back fare, he would have gone. He was chopping wood in the middle of nowhere, thick bush and that, and he couldn't open his hand more than that. It was so sore from holding the saw and the axe. That was a machinery. There was no...
Slippers were there all.
There was no other machinery around those days, love. And then he went from there to Queensland. My uncle was up there on a cane sugar. Sugar cane, I should say. And they give you a job if there was enough for Australians first, you come last. If there was a job left, you get it. If there wasn't, you just go without a work. So then from there, he had an uncle in Victoria, in Sylvan, and he said to him, come down, you might be able to work in Forestry Commission up at Warburton in Victoria. And he did go, and his uncle lent him the money to buy 11 acres of land full of bush. There was nothing clear. It was all big, straight bush. And he bought it with an old house that was full of white ants. You put your hands in there and your fingers would go through the white ants, you know. But his uncle lent him the money. He bought it cheap. He worked in Warburton during a week and rode a push bike 40 miles in and 40 miles out every weekend to start clearing his land with a stump puller and a horse.
The pull boy.
You don't know what stump puller is. The horse pulls it.
With the chain?
Yes. He cleared up, I think, 7 acres. There was another 4 acres left that wasn't cleared. Once the stump puller didn't click, hit him there, knocked him out. He doesn't know how long he was on the ground. He was on his own. He woke up, said I was full of blood. Dragged myself to the neighbours somehow. They said, my God, call an ambulance. He had 17 stitches right across there. And being on your own, it wasn't probably very, you know. But it was hard. It was hard. But he paid for it while working weekends and at home and during the week in Warburton Forest Commission.
He was so... I mean, they laid your foundations for now, didn't they, really? Like, they came here and worked. And then he came and got land here, did he?
He came here in 1953. He thought the things might have been a little bit better. He was still farming. He bought this next door. And it was 10 acres?
Ten acres,
yeah. And we did farming, and I worked alongside of him with my sister, like a nigger. We worked on the farm all our lives.
That's hard, isn't it?
And listen, love, I come out here out of teacher's college. 300 girls. It wasn't fun. It was just after the war. The government educated us all free. My mother had to just supply my clothes. But the board and education was free. But then my father wanted to bring Mum over, and my sister and I just couldn't stay behind. I left. And that's how it is. He wouldn't let me go to school here and learn. I was stuck on the farm. I cried for a year, Therese. I wanted to go back. I missed all the fun. We had nothing, but we were happy in a different way. You can be happy and have nothing just the same. But he said to me after a year, he said, you want to go back and finish your school over there? Oh, your teachers. I said, what for? All my friends are a year ahead of me. I said, I've got no interest anymore. And he wouldn't let me go to school here. I got stuck on the farm and I worked like a nigger ever since. I'll tell you what, wasn't easy. Why? At 15 I had 1 year teacher's college because we went through being under Italians, under Germans. Now, with Italians, we had to learn Italian in school. And after the war in 1945, wasn't it?
44.
Yeah. We were all mixed, the ages. I had people in my class that were born 5 years before me, or 3 years after me, you know. And they picked out whichever they could, the better ones or the worst ones. I was one of the better students. I loved school. And I went from second class to fourth primary. I didn't do third. It was hard, but I passed with the flying colours because I loved studying. And in that time, they wanted as many educated people as possible because country was ruined by Italians, by Germans. There was no teachers, there was no doctors, there was no educated people.
So when you say the country was ruined, why? Because they killed them all?
What? Not killed them all, but ruined a lot. They took everything they could from us. We were starving. We had nothing. We used to pick up apple seeds off the floor, boil them and eat them. If anyone ate an apple and threw seeds on the street, you pick it up, go home and wash it, and pick a handful, boil them and eat them, because you had nothing to eat. But anyway, they made, they call it 7 years schooling before you could go to college to become whatever you wanted. So at 15, missing the third year, you know, of primary school, that put me a year ahead. I had 1 year teacher's college behind me because it was only 7 years that I did six. Three primaries and three secondary. And then I went to college. And come out here and that was my life. It was my death. It wasn't meant to be, I suppose, but I sometimes wonder, when I look back, what it would have been like if I stayed. Would I be better off? Would I be as happy as I was here? I don't know.
So what sort of man was your father?
You wouldn't want to know him.
Why is that, though?
Very controlling. Very... I don't like putting him in a bad manner because I don't want to run him down too much, but he doesn't deserve a nice word.
What was his full name and your mum's name?
My father's name, Frank Stanich, and my mother was Setnich before she married. Her name was Carter Setnich. She married into Stanich. And they had a courtship of 7 years. They produced two children. I was one of them. The boy died when he was 6 months. He was older than me. They got married when I was 2 and a half, nearly three. Nah, 2 and a half, I think. And he made excuses that he had nowhere to live, he had no... But he didn't, but he took it to live with him. Why didn't he marry her? It was the same thing, wasn't it? If you those days, not being married wasn't very popular. It was bigamy. It was, you were doing something you shouldn't be doing. And anyway, I was 2 and a half when he married my mother, and then Millie came along. I was 3 and 2 months when she was born. And my mother, she must have loved him. She went with him for 8 years, from the age of 16 until he married her. She was 25 or 24, I'm not sure. And then when we came here 12 years later, he was so cruel. And I said to her once, "Why did you follow him?" She said, "I thought he'd change and I loved him." And what did he do? She wasn't a very happy soul. I could tell you a lot more, but I don't want to go in the history books. Just leave it. Yeah. Let it rest. Mm-hmm. So now she's in peace. Now she's on her own in a grave. They're not buried together. That was her wish.
Where are they buried?
In Liverpool. The day of the funeral, it rained and rained and rained, and their plot was bought prior to their death, a few years. The stone was on there and everything, you know, the cross and everything, for two people. They did that. And the day of her funeral, it rained so much they couldn't bury but one. They couldn't dig more than 5 feet. And this fellow that looked after the funeral came to me and he said, "Jesse," he said, "I'm terribly sorry, We can only put your mother in here. Your father has to buy somewhere else. I went, oh, this was the dead will make her happy. 6 months prior to her death, she said, I want to be buried alone. You got a wish? And this man said to me, doesn't God work in mysterious ways? It's sad, but she knew what her life was like. Nobody else would have known. I mean, I seen a lot, but she'd never say anything.
She died after your father?
No, she died before. She was 7.5 years younger and she died first. But he went 14 months after her. He got 2 strokes. I think he missed her so much. I think people told me that he loved my mother so much, but why wasn't he a little bit more kinder? But that's how they were, the men, those days. They knew nothing but life like that. They didn't know how to treat a woman. You were there for a purpose. That's all you were there for. Croatian men, Italian men. But I don't know about Australian. I'm not judging the ones that I didn't grow up with. Over there, they don't have much respect for a woman, do they?
Oh, well, all people work in a maximum average 99% in the farms. So I work, not the machinery, all by hands. You dig a ground all day, 24 hours, no stop. That's a life. Machinery is not got anything. But no car, no truck, no
women
anything.
Women work too.
A lot of handwork. You have to cook it, you have to wash it, not the washing machine, not the... You have to make a soap in the ham, or the dripping, or something like that, you make a soap.
Life is literally hard. Soap.
Oh.
Yeah. You want to wash it,
but... You have no idea how hard the life was over there. There was no washing machine. You washed with the board over the big tub.
No fridge.
You made your own soap and everything. And you know what you soak your clothes in to be white? Ash from the fire. You put the ash in the water in a cloth, tie it up, soak it in the water, and it will leave yellow sort of water, and the clothes will be beautiful out of that and white. It's amazing, isn't it? They used to boil them as well, but really those days I wouldn't wish upon anyone. I stayed on the farm. Like we were living in the village, but we had farms outside the village, like acres of land which you worked on and that.
8 or 9 kilometres, you have to walk.
Walk every day to there.
Walk every day up and down. You walk, 10, 15 hours, you come home, dark to dark. And then you come home, sometimes you can't find that much to eat. You go in the bed, starving.
What did you grow?
We grew everything that we could store for winter too, so we could survive winter. We a lot of chickpeas, broad beans, peas. We grew all that and used to dry it out in the sun in the summer and then keep it for winter. We had a lot of cabbage and spinach and eggplant. Fridge. I never knew what cheese was, what biscuits were, what cake was, what lollies were. Never saw them until I came out here. Do you know, first week I came here, Therese, I ate 1 salami a day, the whole salami. I never seen salami in my life. We ate a box of oranges, my sister and I, in a week. It was a fire stove that opened out. We used to put a piece of wood like this and bread. Cut up bread and put it there and toast it like that. Put butter on it. We ate and we ate and we ate because we saw nothing like it back where we come from. There was nothing. I remember going to college. I used to cook barley nearly every day. And you know how barley develops its own grubs in them. They used to cook them and we had to eat them with grubs or with no grubs. You weren't allowed to throw them out because there was nothing else. They fed us for nothing, so You had to just close your eyes and keep putting it in your mouth. It was something in your mouth. That was in Split in 1949 in September until 1950. I left in June. I was nearly finished 1 year. I had papers in my hands anyway, certificates. But gee, things were tough. I had to wear glasses from the age of 10. My father had to send them from here because we couldn't get them over there. There was nothing. When you have two countries taken over, Italy, Germany, they took everything they could. They left us with nothing.
Especially Germany.
Germany, worse than Italians.
Oh. How do you feel about them today? Like, does it sort of...
I don't hold animosity against them. My son-in-law is German descent. Would you believe this? But you don't hold against people now what happened 50, 60 years ago. They were totally different people. But you've got to go on and let it be. You don't forget, but you go on with life. I did say to my husband, to my son-in-law the other day, we were overseas last year, and on the way back, I had a lot of pains. I knew I was in for a heart attack. I was so many pains. A German airport, Frankfurt, I couldn't walk. Oh, jeez, I was in pain. And no bugger of the staff would come near me to ask me, do you need help? What's wrong with you? And when I came back, I got on a plane. I said to him, I'm getting on a plane. Whether I die or live, I'm the same in Germany. When I come here, I said to my son-in-law, I said, you are German descent, seventh generations back. But I said, they should all be shot. And he said, they are arrogant, aren't they? But my son-in-law is a beautiful man. He really is. He never said a rude word to us. I'm fine. I get a bit emotional too sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
Someone asked me the other day, I said something about my age, 75, and they said, oh, would you like to go back? I said, no, I wouldn't want my life all over again. No way. That wasn't a good life. I mean, I married him 6 months. We had a lot of disagreements, but we made it. I stuck it out for my children. He's probably stuck it out with me for our children too, because it doesn't happen just one way. It happens both ways. So, but I'm glad I did it. I got a lovely family. I got 3 nice children, and they got beautiful marriages and nice families. I'm not sorry if I ever put up with something that I shouldn't have to, that I did. Because I don't think the grass is greener on the other side, love, anyway. And, I mean, he's all right. He's not... I'm a bugger, too. I don't like anyone telling me what to do, either. But as long as we could agree and, you know, compromise, I remained nearly 55 years.
Yeah. So can we just go back to when you... were working next door. I mean, how is it, just out of interest? I mean, there's memory around here all the time, isn't there? Because...
you know, I don't like looking at my mother's house, especially when she died. It was in my eyes. Every day, my mother was a beautiful lady. She was kind. She was, how would I say to you, gentle person. And my father was totally different, and I often feel very sorry for her that she never had life. She used to say, I wish I could live 2 hours after him so I can enjoy 2 hours. But she died before him. She had a heart problem and diabetes. That
so
killed her.
Can you describe, like, you worked like a navvy. What was a typical day for you when you were young? What did you do?
Typical life was this.
Literally describe what you were doing.
Typical life was this every day of the week. Sunday we had off. You get up in the morning at 5 o'clock. You'd go up the farm, whether it was picking, tying up tomatoes, chipping the grass, whatever that was to do. And there was not much water those days around, so the water pressure was very, very low. So then at 9 o'clock at night, my sister and I will go up there every second night and water tomatoes till 2 o'clock in the morning. If you didn't get up at 6 or half past 5, you were chased out of bed. Get up and go back to work.
So you'd be watering from 9 till 2 in the morning?
Yes. From now, we'd start watering about 19, yeah. When the water pressure would come on because people in homes wouldn't be using water.
Just wait till this plane goes, just yeah. So we get a clean over that.
Yeah. I used to fall asleep while Millie was watering and when...
Can you describe the irrigation? Like, what was the system like? Did you have metal pipes running
from... We had metal pipes from the meter down near the house, and then we used the hoses, an inch hose, about that wide.
One inch. Is a hard pipe for water.
Yeah. The pipes were about that wide, about an inch and a half. Pipes, and then you have taps up there, and it wasn't much water because I think the pipes were rusty, but that's why we watered in the night, to get a bit more pressure on the water, because if you're standing there during the day and the water's just gone like this, you'll never finish.
How many plants did you have?
Oh, thousands.
Like how many roughly?
Well, he used to have two or three crops.
Maybe crop is about 4,000 plants.
No less than 4,000. But then we grew peas, we grew cabbages, tomatoes. Tomatoes were main source. But then cabbage, peas, sometimes cauliflower, broad beans. We grew them just like Tulich's did. We were all one group sort of a thing, you know. Everybody did the same thing. That's all you knew, farming. And me being stupid, like I was, I'm a workaholic in every way, and I used to work like a nigger. My sister used to tell me, Christ, how can you pick peas so fast? How can you be so much quicker than me? And all this, but I have ruined my bones, fair dinkum. I'm full of arthritis now. If I lift anything, that hurts. This hurts. If I walk, everything hurts. I think all my, ligaments, had been pulled apart. I remember working on a poultry farm for 20 years after I was married and packing on a machine, doing this, packing eggs all day. I think all my ligaments are torn, and there's nothing I can do about it. I just got to put up with it.
How old were you when you started doing this work?
15.
15, so you weren't at school, you just worked all day.
I went to school for three months down in Sylvan. It was only one class. You know, on the farms, there wasn't many kids. I said to my father, I am not going. I said, I am up here. The little ones are down here. I said, I am not going. I've learned with people. Because down here wasn't many Yugoslav people then. I say Yugoslav because that's what I was. I came as a Yugoslav. I was educated as Yugoslav. And I was born as Yugoslav. Now it's Croatian, all right. I've got to say I'm Croatian. But if you look back and talk about your life, at that age, I was Yugoslav. Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
I come out as Yugoslav.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you know, that's... I said to him, if he wanted to send me back to school, but I had to learn English first, I would have loved to have gone because I was good at school.
So
I love studying.
So on the farm, just want to get some sense yeah. of more of the farming when you yeah. were younger and then after you were married and what yeah. happened then. So you have, what did you have, like 12,000 plants? Is that what you
said? We used to have crops at different stages, no more than 4,000 in one, and then a few months later you plant another 4,000 and it goes on and on till winter. When winter come on, we have nothing in the winter because of the frosts. Only we used to have cabbages and peas, that's right, in the winter. But mainly tomatoes in the summer. And you're working and you had to tie them up, prune them. The sticks were that high.
6 foot.
Did you buy the sticks or were you collecting them?
My father used to buy them. He used to buy them from the timber sawmills, you know. So, no... It was...
Do you know who the agents were then and any names?
Lulich. He was agent that was selling her tomatoes. Foy ran the Leppington Co-op that's now called something else there next to the cemetery. It was called Grower's Club at those days. And Peter Tulich worked in it too. Later on, but Foy started first. They used to send tomatoes to Melbourne, to Brisbane, and they used to have supplies like sprays, hoses, the boxes you can purchase from them. But, yes, Lulich was the agent that used to sell our tomatoes. And we were the workers, love. Whatever they sold them for, you have to accept it, whether it was true or not. Who knew?
Can you remember some of the prices back then?
Sometimes. I remember when we first came here, the year 1958. So this was 1959. We used to live three houses further down, where there's two big pine trees in front of the house. It looks a wreck and ruins now. Anyway, we put 2,500 tomatoes down near the house. And that was so good price, the tomatoes. The boxes were that long and that high, wasn't it, Danny? How much were they selling for, do you remember?
£5
for a box. We paid our farm off with one crop of tomatoes. My father bought the farm. This is how trusty he was. He paid for the farm, 10 acres it was. He bought off next door, 5 for me, 5 for my sister, Millie. How much he trusted us, he paid for it, but when we gave him the money back, we even have to pay his transfer and our transfer. And he told everybody he bought us the farm.
He put the farm in his name.
He put it in his name. That's how much he trusted us. And he was telling people he bought us each a farm. You know, Therese, he used to give us some money at Christmas time. He'd give you £20 each to go. That was your shopping for the year. For underwear, for dresses. I remember having skirt and a top and a dress. I went to work for Colomba Perich one year, picking peas. Colomba Perich was over on the hill of Cow Pasture Road. This is the one that now owns Oran Park and that. And I was a fairly good worker. He was paying me by the tins, how many I picked. And I went and bought myself a dress, what I've earned. My father never forgave me for it. I should have kept the money or give it to him or something, whatever, he was cranky with me. But I wanted to buy a nice new dress. He'd give you that much that you can just have one change a year. A young girl. I wasn't allowed to go anywhere, love. I was 18. I never went anywhere. And when I did meet him, he went with me. He wouldn't let me go on my own. So that's the life I had. Because he had two children, I could have 6 even home here. I didn't have to go anywhere if I wanted to, did I? There's always a way where there's a will.
Of course.
But it was up to me.
Just getting back to the tomatoes, £5 a box.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Because there was shortage. It must have been raining when we planted them.
Victoria and Queensland, all in the, underneath in the water.
Yeah,
he's not got
floods.
Tomatoes from overstate, no way. Even from here, he's going to Melbourne in Queensland. That's why he said tomatoes, he said, too expensive.
Because they weren't coming in. It was just the locals. And, I'll tell you what, it was heaven. I've earned 1,000, was it 1,200 or 400 pounds we had to give to my father? 250 pounds,
with
not dollars.
One crop
paid us. We were lucky. This was in 1960. We came here in 1958. Sonia was 8 months. 59 or 60. I'm not sure. But I reckon it was in between 59 and 60.
And what happened? And how bad did it get? Give me an example of another box.
I'll tell you what happened one year. I had crop just above my house up there, beautiful, just starting to pick. My father just come back from Queensland. He went to his brother-in-law's funeral, and he was walking up. The sky went black. I never seen, you don't see that black sky anymore. And hail. All my tomatoes, everything was wiped out. There was only a stick standing up. Hundreds of dollars I've lost. just as well he was working out, he was bringing in the money for food. You know.
But what's another box that was a low price?
I could have sold.
Tom has got the box about 5 shillings, 6 shillings.
10.
Just cover him up.
The expenses.
Expenses. And you bought for nothing.
I remember one year we used to grow winter tomatoes under bags. We used to open them up in the morning, close them at night.
Is that why they had the Hessian bags? Was that when you grew them in winter?
Hessian
it
bag.
Would be different in summer.
Used to plant them in June and keep them covered until about September, until the frost fall out.
Open and then all the time you have to cover them up.
They used to grow that tall.
So in the morning you'd have the Hessian, you'd open the pull it back.
No, put it back night time.
And cover it of a night.
Yes.
And the morning it opened. If you're raining, you keep it closed all day.
And that was growing in the winter.
Yes.
In summer, you wouldn't do that.
No. But anyway, I remember him staying home one day to help me take the bags off. And we were taking them off because it was warm. And then the plants were that big. You had to stake them. You had to heal them up. And it got black. And my young daughter was at home asleep in a cot. And black. And hail. And wind. It wiped all our tomatoes that we took the bags off. There was just a tomato stick standing up like this. Heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. What I was worried about was my daughter being home on her own because we had tin roof. And you know, hail on a tin roof. I ran home after it was all over. You couldn't go down in the hail. It was too heavy. She was asleep and I thought, thank God, other than that, she would panic. I used to leave my children in the cots and go work on the farm. Everybody did. I mean, you couldn't drag them in that hot sun or in the colder weather. So you leave them in the cot, a few toys, and you come and peep on them. And that's how they grew up. There was no this like they're doing now. Oh, my God. I got 3 kids. I can't do anything else. I can't understand it anymore. My daughter-in-law says, oh, I've got housework. I've got 3 kids. I've got to take them to school. I've got to do this. And I look back and I say, I had 3 flaming kids and I work like a nigger on a farm. But everyone's different. Times have changed. I would not wish my life upon anyone. Now, but a little bit of hardship would go a long way. It'll go a long way. But let them be happy. Let them enjoy life while they can. But I reckon still the days I grew up in and worked on the land, they were happy days. Today, everyone's running for the dollar. That's all it is.
So the happy, there are happy days. I mean,
they were very happy. My mother lived in this house, my sister in the next, and I was in the third. We used to get together every Sunday, have a barbecue, afternoon tea. Kids grew up together.
No TV.
It was lovely. They had a small swimming pool about. They used to all go in and just sit in it. My son was only little and he used to do poo in it sometimes. It was fun. But since my mother died and they're all grown up, you don't see anybody anymore. Sometimes I might call around or call you on the phone. Not even my son calls me on the phone. I say to my daughter down the south, she's a lovely girl, don't get me wrong. She's very affectionate and that, but she's a teacher and she's got 2 kids. She works full time. She lives at Thirroor. And sometimes I don't hear from her for weeks. And I say, Linda, just a phone call. Hey, Mum, how are you? And I get stumped and I said, if you want blood, we'll call. I won't call you either. Oh, am I terrible? It hurts.
So when you finished working on your parents' farm, can we talk about the wedding, and then go from there.
I had a nice wedding. My father...
Tell me where it was and how
it was at Vestella at Auburn. I got married in Auburn Catholic Church, and we would have had about 100 people, if not more.
150.
150, I don't think so. My father did the right thing by me. He paid for my wedding. But I had to go to work 6 months at Dunlop's in Bankstown to lend the money to buy my dress. So I bought my dress and my sister got married in my dress too. So the wedding was okay. It was still at Auburn. I think it still exists. Yeah.
So did you go on a honeymoon or?
No. I'm not going to.
I'm just asking.
I'm not going to tell you what happened.
I don't want to know any of the
nitty-gritty. No. Just switch it off. I'll tell you what happened.
I'd love to keep it on. Let's get that again.
Our honeymoon was in 1976. We had a trip to Croatia. And that was 20 years later. What a waste of time.
So where did you live when you had a wedding, your father paid for it?
Yeah. We lived in Cabramatta. His uncle had a farm and we shared a house, very old house, on the corner of Avoca Road and St John's Road, Cabramatta. It's all housing now. Those days was all farm.
Who were some of your neighbours?
His uncle's son.
And their name?
Some Australian, Quinyasich they were. He was Denny too, just like this one. Because the tradition in Croatia, you carry the name of your grandfather, the first grandson. So this one was Dinko, the other one was Denny.
Is everybody like you have to carry grandfather name? Doesn't matter how many kids you got, you have to be grandfather
first
name.
This one is a grandfather's name. That's the tradition. His uncle, and then I had some nice Australian people across the road.
What were their names?
Oh, I forgot. I know I had my Croatian girlfriend down the road on St John's Road, Mirjana Grgurovic. She was a lovely lady, a little bit older than me, but we got to know each other, and I used to wheel the pram down and, you know, visit her every now and then. We didn't go out much. We had no car. We were married 10 years. We just bought a car.
Yeah, but the car all gone with the bus, train. That's all you have to go because you can't afford to buy a car. And just you work for the bit money to feed and a dressing and.
Teresa, I had sewn my daughter's underwear by hand. Pants from the flannelette stuff you buy in the shops. I wore one dress 7 years to go out because I couldn't afford to buy another one. That's how it was. And we sort of didn't care. Nobody looked around and say, well, you're not dressed or you're this and that. Everybody was happy. I don't know what's happened today. The more they get, the more they want. When we moved to Kelly Street, this is my mother's house, then the next house was ours. We built two bedrooms. It was Masonite. You know what Masonite colour is? And I thought I was in a motel, in heaven, to what I lived in Cabramatta. And anyway, we had this laundry outside with an old copper. We'll carry the water into the bathroom. We had no shower, just a bath. And I used to bath my three kids and get in the same water myself. Carrying it because it was just too much to carry. That's how we survived. And when I could afford to, I lay by a zip hot water heater on the wall and I had a shower stand over the bath. I thought I was in heaven. I could have a shower. It was lovely. But we still thought we were lucky.
Oh, you're lucky because you got a hurt. It's never be sick and, you know, that's a distinct.
We were healthy, we were young, and we survived. I wouldn't want that life for anybody. Nobody.
What did you grow together? Like, you then continued to grow food? And chooks, you mentioned.
I had chooks. We had a pig as well. But my young daughter, when she grew up, she says, I'm not eating that pig. You're going to kill it. I'm not going to eat it. I said, Linda, they kill cows too, and you eat them. I said, everything gets killed. We used to have a dog. We used to have a pig. We used to have chooks. I used to have a cow. I used to milk the cow, which I think that wasn't any good for my son because he was an asthmatic, and I kept giving him the milk that wasn't pasteurized or homogenized or anything. Those days you thought it was all right. You just boiled it, and it was okay. But he used to get asthma. He got asthma at 18 months. No, I did not put up with the hell. I slept with him more than I slept with him because of his breathing. They had no medication, those days. How many antibiotics he had because he used to get bronchitis. His bones are so fragile that, you know, he broke one ankle at school and it's never been right. He said to me, the arthritis said, you know, he had two operations and nothing worked, but he was 2 weeks at school and 1 week at home with bronchitis at 18 months. I slept with him every night nearly when he was sick. That's why I think he's very close to me now.
Of course.
Yeah, because I used to sponge him with the vinegar and cold water to bring the temperature down. There was nothing there. Today they got Preventus, they got Puffers, they got everything. All I remember him saying, laying on the floor, and say, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And I had no car, I had to go from here with the bus to Fairfield to Dr. Coburn. That was our family doctor. We changed later on as we got older. But I used to go there and...
Tell me about the bus service.
It was better than now. We only had Neville started buses from Bringelly. With one bus. We had more service with one bus than we have now. Now you got a bus. I don't know about school buses in the morning, but for us, 9 o'clock, there's one about 12. But coming back, if you miss it at 1 o'clock, you don't get what, 20 past 4.
That's today.
That stinks, yeah. And those days, Neville ran every couple of hours. The old man used to shovel on one of his legs. I think his son sold his business to Busabout a few years back. That's over at Hoxton Park, yeah. But the bus service, I used to go to Liverpool with £2. I'd come home with ham, cheese, bit of meat, and if I needed to buy a dress, 25 pence as to pay for a dress. Those days. I come home with change out of £2. I don't know whether it was worse than now. I don't know. I can't compare it. But he was only earning, what, £13 for night shift. That was his wages in 1956, 57 and 58.
58.
Yeah. Where was that? That was at Hardy.
At Hardy's, James Hardy, where he collected his asbestos.
Now, did you work for Ingham's in a factory or something?
No, love, I worked on poultry farm down here. When things didn't go well on the farm anymore and it was too much hard work, I said to him, look, kids are at school, I'm going to look for a steady job that brings me income every week. And I did that. I used to clean units with the lady next door around Riverwood, housing commission units. But then we didn't get along that well, so this Mr. Palmer, just down on Bringelly Road, it was called Palmdale, the farm. He came over to me one day because his daughter went to school with my daughter. And he said, Mrs. Quincy, would you like to come and work for me? And I thought, oh, I'll think about it. Then I thought, well, it's down the road. It's only 5 minutes' walk. I know it doesn't smell nice, but you get used to it. And my daughter was at the college now, Linda. She went to Castle Hill, Paulding College, Teachers College. She needed my car. She had a little escort. So I took this job and I was there 20 years. And I used to walk down and back and the pay wasn't that good, but I wasn't spending money on clothing, on petrol, on travelling, on anything. And since I went to work, we sort of picked up a bit because on the farm, you were depending on a crop. Sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. And you had to have food for the kids. And, I mean, they went to public schools. I didn't send my kids to private schools because I couldn't afford to.
What schools did they go to?
Lappington Primary, Lanier High and Casula High.
So I was going to ask you what you did at the factory for 20 years.
You mean at the chicken farm?
Yeah, the chicken farm.
Pick up eggs and worked on it. I'll get this out of the sun, then you put it in the shade. Pick up the eggs, you push this trolley in front of you all day. There was cemented paths between the cages. There were chooks were in the cages. And you have concrete path and you go like this, pick up eggs and a trolley, you push with your body.
God.
Oh, it was hard. You have 6 or 7 stacks of 6 trays, 2.5 dozen each tray. And he used to unload them, put them in pallets up above your head. There's no bloody wonder my arms are all sore. I did it for 20 years, and on the machine, the machine did everything. She washed them, she packed them, she stamped them, but they were coming like a bed out of hell from there on a conveyor belt. All you have to do, box it and do this packet on the pallet, and there you go. Your arms never stopped. There's no bloody wonder I've got all my ligaments torn up there. They did it for 20 years, but I took it, as I said to you, because being close, and my daughter needed the car to go to college. So she
how much did you get paid?
Not much.
Tell me how much.
Under $200 to start with, and it went up. It wasn't $300 full.
Is this a week or...?
Week. It wasn't a big money. Today, I believe, they put their wages up. They had to, but those days, they were saying they're making no money on the eggs. They make money on them, believe you me. But as I said, it was convenient for me.
How many chickens were in that factory?
76,000. And we used to do, what do you mean, what type?
What brand were they?
Some of them were brown, some of them were black, and some of them were white. They were all different colours. I worked with a lady named Pat Patterson. Her children went to school with my son. Actually, her son committed suicide in the end, which was terrible. But two of us, we used to go twice over 76,000 chooks, twice a day picking up eggs. She had her section, I had mine. And we used to be very equal. Maybe one would finish meter before the other one. She had so many rows and I had so many.
How many rows?
Oh, God.
Roughly.
Yeah, I don't know. I reckon there was about 40-something rows in the top one. We would have 20 in a top shed each. And then we had two small sheds down the bottom. She did one and I did the other.
And were the chickens in one level or were they stacked? Like, were there rows of cages?
No, just one cage. One cage like there. And the eggs used to fall down on a wire that went like this outside. And all you did, you had to sort out the dirty ones and the cracked ones. If sometimes you made a mistake, the crack was on the bottom, you pick up the egg and you put it in, but... you had to sort out the dirty ones, the crack ones, the badly crack ones. Because the badly crack ones, people used to come and buy them for their animals or for cakes.
The cake.
Yeah, I used to bring them home. There's nothing wrong with them. It's just that they cracked and they can't last. But if their membrane wasn't cracked, they could last for weeks. Yeah, I did that for... And when to go back now, when he asked me would I come and work for him, I said I'd... Give me a week, I'll make up my mind, because at that time I was a tea lady in St Mary's in a factory. It was a good job, but I didn't like the fog in the morning, and it was 28 k's, and I just didn't like the distance, you know. And I rang him up after a week. I said, Mr Palmer, I said, I think I'll take your offer. He said, I knew you'll be there. He said, I was waiting for you to ring me. Because of the options that I, you know, in my way. Yeah, when my daughter went, because we were earning $12 over the limit where she gets the help from the government to us, we haven't got a cent for her education. Not a cent. She worked at Coles in Liverpool when it was up the top of Main Street in the garden section from the age of 15 till she was 21, till she finished her college. And when she started to work, she was so tiny, they wanted her birth certificate. They didn't believe she was 15. Because Linda, even today, she's a little bit smaller than me, but she's tiny built. And she worked for her petrol. She worked for the books, and I paid the petrol. Sometimes a book would cost $55, $60. That was nothing. And I paid repairs on the car. We had it hard.
In a car, she bugged him up.
Now, Sonia had an accident with that car. It was a little Escort, European Formula. It was a beautiful little car. I bought it brand new. It was $1,200, I think, then. It was cheap. Then my eldest daughter started to drive. She got a license. She took it out, and they went out overnight. Somebody thumped up from behind one night. Okay. Linda was driving one day down corner of Kelly Street. Somebody came from the side. And when my son got to drive, he was driving it around, and he ended up selling it. That's how I ended up with the car. He sold it for a deposit on the other car. But I was happy I could help him anyway. Sonia bought herself, that's my eldest daughter, V-Dub. And then she bought Salika when she got married, and she said to Linda, "You want my V-Dub?" Oh, Linda was happy. It was a beautiful little car. So Linda took a V-Dub, then I got my car back, then my son took it. That's why I walk to work, love.
So but how do you have any aversion to eating tomatoes or eggs today?
Tomatoes I love, but I can't because I suffer with hiatus hernia. I can't have anything that's sour. Eggs, I love eggs, but I'm not very keen on chicken. I'm sorry, I eat it, but I always think about those feathers being off them. You know, in a cage, I said that they used to. You never seen a chook in a cage. They used to be all no feathers in the front. You feel sorry for them, be caged four in one cage. But they're still doing it. But it's the only way, because you can't have free range chicken. It's too hard to pick up eggs. How are you going to go with an acre of land and pick up eggs? Down on your back, you might as well break your back. Hey, this was hard enough doing this. You didn't pick up one side, then the other. You were doing both at the same time. Even now, when I'm moving my arms, they hurt around here. It's 20 years, and that took its toll.
Did you get any long service leave? Or?
No. No. Because I was casual. Permanent casual. That's what they employ you, love. You get a few dollars a week more, and they were covered. And what are you going to do? And me being me, I wasn't slack. I wasn't sort of... I did my best. I always work hard because I didn't believe in bludging. But there was bludgers there that were getting money same as me. You used to have to sweep the paths with the straw broom because the manure that used to fall, you couldn't push your trolley. So you swept these paths, and by the time you swept them, your arms hurt. We even sometimes had to shovel the manure out of the way. And some people used to come in and say, "Oh, it stinks in here. How can you work in here?" I say, "I don't smell it anymore. I've been here too long." You don't. You walk in and it's just walking in here. But if you come in there and it was wet.
Perfume shop.
How did she smell coming home?
She's going to wash straight away because you can't send it.
Take my clothes off and just have a shower.
Because they spray them and stuff, don't they? They lice them. They
used to put foggers on when it was hot in the sheds. And can you imagine a little drizzle on a chook's feathers? The smell was terrible. And I used to put a tray of 2.5 dozen eggs on my head because my glasses used to get wet. And I couldn't see. And you had to pick up in the foggers, in the wet. Foggers were on every on and off. If it was a hot day, I think they came on every quarter of an hour. And went on for 5 minutes and quarter of an hour.
So to keep the chickens cool.
Yes. But can you imagine the smell of those feathers? It was, phew. It's horrible.
And what about when they pesticide?
Well, we never picked up. She'll do one end. And then we wouldn't pick up anywhere near her. I used to say to her, "Olga did it." That was the lady that worked there. I said, "I don't care whether you sick me or not. I can't stand it. I'm going down in the bottom shed." I could not stand the fumes. She used to have a mask on and plastic overalls and coat and gum boots and everything. It was, odour was strong. Oh. But then a machine came on. They bought this stupid machine from Germany. Oh, boy. One lady was watching out the top of dirty eggs. She has to take them off. One was feeding the machine with 6 trays of 2.5 dozen, a stack of 6 trays, and they went by conveyor belt. I mean, until I go there, and you should see the machine picking one up at a time and putting it on the conveyor.
Oh, yeah,
belt.
I know those ones.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
And one was watching for the dirty ones in a closed compartment. Everything was black under the lights on the eggs. You watched for dirty eggs. If there was any, you picked them out. Geez, that was boring. I'd rather be doing anything than that. I'm not a person to stay in one place.
How come you kept going? What kept you going?
Money. We borrowed $25,000 to finish this house. And then we had to change his car. He had an old Belmont 1970 model. And there was holes in the floor. We had to change the car. We bought another, what was another five? We bought it privately.
Yeah, privately.
But we had to borrow $5,000 from the bank.
These are 5,000.
Excuse me. I said to him, we had enough money. Like, I was doing three jobs when we were building this house. I was picking up eggs till 2 o'clock, cleaning two houses a week, and going to help his brother tie up the tomatoes. I had four jobs. And that used to bring me in an extra $100 a week to pay. We paid a loan of $14,500 in 4 years. We put everything towards it. And then he said to me, "Oh, let it go, we'll do it later, we'll leave as it is." I said, "No, Danny." I said, "I either finish it or I don't move in it, because you'll never finish it then once you moved in it." It wasn't much of a house. It's pretty big, but it's not a flash home, but it's a livable, nice home.
It is a nice home.
Yeah.
So how do you spend your time today? How do you spend your days now? Do you have hobbies?
I have one day at Liverpool Hospital voluntary. I'm a volunteer.
What do you volunteer for? Causing trouble?
I work in the dialysis department in a storeroom, opening up syringes, lines, pads, nappies, everything to put on these shelves so they can do it quicker. And I do Monday morning, every Monday morning there. And I go to Liverpool on Thursday with my daughter. We have a cup of coffee with my sister comes in and my girlfriend. Most of the time now in the football season, I'm glued to television. I love my football. I love soccer. I can watch it all. It doesn't matter what team plays. I love my Sydney FC, but I watch them all. He goes every Friday over there to that club, Saturday and Sunday. Stays for dinner Saturday. I used to object to it, and I said to him, "Now stay Sunday too, I don't have to cook."
I was a good wife.
why should I cook if you can have dinner over there? Well, he's still, if ever they call him where he used to work, every now and then if they need help, they call him to come and give him a hand with something. He's been there for 38, 36 years.
Where's
that? In St Mary's, in a place. But it's not a permanent job. It's just sometimes they need him.
They need something, you know. To...
Yeah.
Can I ask about the bocce club a bit? How long you been going?
I don't know, about...
Since 1958.
45 years.
Who were your best friends there?
Oh, well, Lord had all friends. He said, "Oh,
Koi Sutinai, boy."
Oh, well, Mile Petkovic, Ivan Pudaric, Stipe Bakaric. He's got every day, you know. It's a good good friend. Sometimes it's someone going to cranky and, you know, we are like European people. We talk about hands and you did this, you did that. You know, you play there, you play wrong and just, you know.
Are you good? Are you good at bocce? Are you a champion?
Yeah. Oh, well, that's...
a few times.
Yeah, a few times I'll be champion too. I just, you know, for the...
He's getting old, his back is giving him, he's starting to
bend. Coming to video them playing soon. They don't know it yet.
He's starting to bend. We had ultrasound. He thought he had osteoporosis like women. But he said, no, that's... His father walked the same.
Okay, I reckon it's hard work.
Yeah.
Especially when you are young, you work in a building. You have to carry, you know, like in here, it's rocks. about 1 meter long and a half a meter higher.
That's talking about Yugoslavia.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
That's there you have to carry in two men, one in the front, one in the back, all around the scaffold into, not a scaffold where you lift it, you have to walk and to bring this thing up. And the concrete, you never ready mixer, you have to mix it by hands. I remember one Saturday to put this terrazzo slabs. And then you work in the morning, start 5 o'clock, and they finish next day, 1 o'clock in the morning. All by hands. Not ready mix or thing, only by, you carry everything by hands. You carry in about first floor, as what I tell you, it's a start in the 5 o'clock in the morning to finish 1 o'clock in the night. Never stop. And the last time I be young, 16, 17, 18, just, I got the best life in the army 3 years, because you have to join the army, regular army, not a lot. You got a monthly paid about $10. That's a monthly paid. That's just to buy a light cigarette or something like that.
It was compulsory. He did 3 years. As a you were Marines, you were.
Oh, in the army.
Yeah, in the army, but you weren't. You were on a boat. You were. How do they call it in English?
The Navy.
The Navy, yeah. He was in the Navy for 3 years.